Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
up. Here's a chance. That goal. Shot. Rebound. Score. What's going on, everybody? Tall Can Sports, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. My name's Matt.
And my name would be Rob.
Nice.
Yes, look at that. Seamless, my friend. Like we rehearsed it.
Almost. Almost like that. Well, we should start where we always start. What is on the beer menu today
on your side of the table? I reached into the back of the fridge in the green room.
Yeah.
Found a couple of little gems that I left behind. Hey. This is the what should have been IPA.
Oh.
From our good friends over at Evergreen.
What should have been.
Yeah, when I stopped by, I was looking for the what they listed on their website as opening day IPA. And she said, yeah, that was just the original batch when we opened. I'm like, really?
Hey, stupid, it can only be opening day once.
It's right in the name. But it's on your website. So, this she said, oh, well, you'll like this then. Especially if you haven't had that one. Try that.
Okay.
So, here I am.
Do you watch, do you pay attention? Do you care at all about the Oscars? Your turn and yell there on what you just did. It seemed very Adam Sandler. A lot of people up in arms. He didn't get the call for the Uncut Gems. And all I can think of when I hear that movie title.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Tragically Hip.
And Unplucked Gems.
Yes.
Did you see the movie Uncut Gems?
I have not, but apparently it's in the top five for swears to normal word ratio.
Holy, okay, so that's...
I don't know what the hell is wrong with me today. I'm
top five strokes to normal world ratio.
Top five.
Right.
Top five episodes that involve me having a stroke.
Right. Adam Sandler, though, known to be a bit of a cursor.
Yeah.
And your turn and yell there just seemed very Adam Sandler.
Yeah, well.
You blew it!
Yes. And he seemed to take it in stride. He's
I
like, well, that.
He gives a shit.
Yeah, he's like, well, that just means no more suits for the Sandman.
Right.
I remember, if you recall, and I can't remember, it was Punch Drunk
Love.
Yeah, was he in that?
Where I have no idea.
He was in a serious role that was also drawing some Oscar buzz, and he's...
Oh, is this the comedian dying?
Yes.
Grown-ups? No, not grown-ups, no.
Anyways, let's not go any further down this road of ignorance.
All right, well, thanks for joining us on Talk and Sports.
And there again is the show named.
Yeah, for sure.
No, but they said, well, what would you do? Would you wear a tux? He's like, absolutely, I'm going to wear a tuxedo made out of track pant material.
Love it.
So clearly he's let himself go a bit.
Who hasn't?
If you see him on, I saw him on 60 Minutes.
Doing what? He wasn't interviewing anybody.
They were interviewing him.
Yeah.
And so just post his gig on hosting Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Anyways, we digress. How did we get here?
I was just curious because of your turn and Sandler yell. It came to mind that he'd apparently been snubbed for an Oscar.
See, I was thinking I was channeling more of my inner Steve Dangle. Is actually what that was.
Our buddy, who we've never met, Brian 5 or 6.
Yes,
he's out there on Twitter looking for personal trainers to whip him into shape for what he calls his inevitable duel with Steve Dangle.
Pistols or rapiers? What's going to happen there? What is?
I don't know. I think it's broken beer bottles.
Okay, so. I see that with Brian.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I see that with Steve.
No, I think Steve's back in town in a big way.
Yeah.
And he's admitted that a time or two. If you don't know who either of those people are and you're a Leafs fan or a Sens fan, Steve Dangle for the Leafs, Brian 5 or 6 for the Sens, both awesome follows, awesome social media presence. Because
I've often said, I'll smash this bottle and cut you with it. And it gets a reaction.
He does. Often he says it.
Well, no matter in what crowd I say it in.
weddings, funerals, well, never sure. worked.
But people always look at you like,
this really wasn't the time.
Is he serious? Is he not? Do I laugh at this?
No, he's serious. Yes. Laughing will only make it worse.
It's true.
As we sit here right now, I want to get your opinion briefly.
Oh, then you're asking the wrong guy.
Our pal Josh Donaldson.
Minnesota Twin.
Brand new 4-year, $92 million deal.
Start the car! Start the car!
You and I believe, both panned the idea of the Blue Jays locking him up long term based on how the injuries had gone and just the way they were kind of turning things over. He had a pretty good season in Atlanta.
I think so.
Yeah. Did we make a mistake?
No.
Oh, we never do.
No, I think he had the possibility of trotting out a year or two of good seasons.
Yep.
I think there's nothing saying that he doesn't show up in Minnesota and have
another
have another good season.
Okay. You're not even going to give him two?
I am not at this point going to give him two more seasons.
Okay.
I will give him maybe one more good season. A mediocre season, and then you are regretting.
Okay.
Huge regret. Remorse. Buyer's remorse.
Would you like to take a stab? Because Josh Donaldson, at age 33, has now signed the second biggest contract for a player over 32 years of age. Who was the first? Donaldson is 33.
Yep.
He has the second biggest contract ever signed for a player 32 years old or older.
David Ortiz.
Well, that's a good guess. No, but he kept taking a series of like 1-year deals there towards the end.
Is it a pitcher?
It is a pitcher.
Bartolo Colon?
No, he kind of disappeared.
CC Sabathia?
Did the Betty, another one who did kind of the the Weight Watchers thing. And it's Kevin Brown.
Oh,
LA Dodgers. That was never coming.
You could have given me 200 guesses and I wouldn't have come to that.
Yeah. It was Kevin Brown, LA Dodgers. You know what? The Minnesota Twins last year surprised a lot of people, had a pretty good offense. Their pitching wasn't that great, and they clearly tried to address it this offseason. It didn't happen, and they went, all right.
More hitting,
then
please.
I guess we'll just keep trying to whack the fuck out of the ball.
Well, because they were, and I don't know what their season-ending totals were, but at one point they were obliterating the single-season home run total.
And like you, I don't know what they finished with. They didn't break the record, but they came goddamn close to it. And so they just kind of went, all right, I guess we'll do what we're good at, right? And as a Leaf fan, I kind of have to buy into that, right?
And the thing with Josh is, and I loved him when he was here.
Of course.
Right? Like, to me, and what you like about him is that he plays balls right out in front, right? And he's crafty, he's aggressive. I just think you're going to start to see that catch up with him.
Right.
So he finished his career in Toronto, injury plagued.
Mm-hmm.
Strung a nice season.
Now he blames our
turf?
No, our training staff and organization.
Yep. Well,
Double A down in Atlanta locked him up, gave him another chance.
I was going to say he can thank his buddy.
Yeah. Well, great tweet today. And honestly, I didn't recognize the name, so I didn't go look at their profile or whatever on Twitter. Could have been an Atlanta fan, could have been a Toronto fan that said, you ever feel like you dated that somebody when they're down and out and living in their van and you support them emotionally and financially, and then they come around and they get their shit together and a good job and decide they're too good for you and marry some fucking floozy in Minnesota.
Okay, that's clearly an Atlanta fan.
Yeah, well, you're probably right. But well struck.
Because I think we were fine with letting them go.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think there was no way we were going to give him what he needed, and he thought he could get it elsewhere, and really?
Turns out he did.
Yeah. Well,
between last year, they gave him almost $20 million, I think, in Atlanta for last year. Now he's got $92 million for the next 4 years.
Well,
he showed for 5 years. He wanted 5 years out of the Jays, and they wouldn't give it to him. And he got his money for 5 years.
Yeah. And really, that's 5 years at $113 million.
Yep. So,
woo!
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, for a guy who was a late bloomer, right? Late 20s, I think, before he came to Toronto.
Yeah.
And
really only killed it for a year or two in Oakland before they made that deal.
Well, it hadn't even really killed it. He was sort of in the ascension, because if he was killing it, there's no way they would have traded him for Lowry.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. But Lowry. I think most people agreed, never bet on a Lowry.
Never. No team is ever going to win with that guy as your best player.
Most people believed that when they made that deal, the Jays and Oakland, the Toronto had run away with it, right? Like it was a fucking steal. Well, and at that point, I'll admit, I didn't know that much about Josh Donaldson.
I knew nothing about Josh Donaldson.
And he showed up and just fucking killed it for us.
Because he was another guy. He went, hey, there's a guy down there in Oakland who's overachieving that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
That's funny like that. That's every other Oakland Athletic, right? That's right. You're like, who's that guy? And so, yeah, then within a year, he's an MVP up here.
Yep.
So good for him. Yeah, that's another one of those things where I hold no grudges.
No.
And that's a guy who bet on himself and said, that's what I want, and this and he gets it. So good for him, man.
Good on you, man. As we move along, we might as well stick with baseball. The big news of the week, obviously, the Houston Astros get their dicks slapped by Major League Baseball.
Not just the Houston Astros.
No, and we will get there. But for those who haven't been paying attention, back in November, The Athletic released a pretty goddamn...
Damning.
Yeah, I've kind of trapped myself in my sentence structure.
Scathing.
Report, yes.
Scathing, Matt, is the word you're going to go with.
I appreciate that, Matt.
Okay.
Report on a cheating scam from the Astros that essentially, mainly at home, they haven't been able to prove how successful they were on the road, that there was a camera in center field. It would capture what the opposing catcher was laying down in terms of his hand signs for the pitcher.
Oh, he's laying it down.
It would get transmitted back into a tunnel behind the Houston Astros dugout, and you would whack the fuck out of a garbage can to trigger the batter to know. He would hear this sound that says, this is going to be an off-speed pitch. If you heard nothing, it was going to be a fastball. So that's essentially what this boiled down to. This was kind of, as it became a thing, people on YouTube, people on the internet, people who have way more time than most of us went back and started finding just countless examples of it. And you can hear it, this wham, wham, change up, wham, wham, curve. And batters for Houston were able to sit on that at home. And of course, in 2017, when all this happened, the Houston Astros, as you may recall, go on to win the World Series. They come down, I guess they come down hard on the Astros. They fined them $5 million, which is fucking nothing, but it is the maximum allowed under the CBA. They suspend the general manager and the manager for a year, and the team turns around and outright fires them.
And they lost two first-round picks?
Two first-round picks and two second-round picks.
Okay.
So it's not nothing. The financial penalty to me is the one that's laughable, but it sounds like MLB was hamstrung by this. And we see this a lot on if you're a hockey fan on Twitter, when, you know, somebody stabs somebody in the face with a skate in the NHL. The NHL puts out a tweet that says, we've fined Brad Marchand. It's just a name that comes to mind. It could be anybody. $1,200. Maximum allowable under the CBA.
$1,500.
Right. You're like, the only reason you put maximum allowed under the CBA is because you know it's laughable and you're trying to clear your own fucking name. So that's a whole other thing. The $5 million fine should have been way higher, but they weren't allowed to do way higher. None of the players have anything happen to them. No suspension, no fines, no whatever. There's some thought out there that maybe that's the trade-off. When MLB does their investigation, they go to the players and they say, if you cooperate, there will be no suspension, no penalty, no fines, but you got to roll over on your bosses. I don't know exactly how all that works, but what's your takeaway on this? Because it seems like only the management is paying the fines.
Well, and I think you got to throw Alex Cora in there, right?
Alex Cora was the bench coach of the Astros in 2017. In the offseason, he then moves to Boston to become their manager for the 2018 season. And, oh, Boston wins the World Series in 2018. So, reasonable to assume there was, and there was an investigation into Boston. The Red Sox did not wait for that to become a thing. They just fired Alex Cora, and actually it says have mutually agreed to part ways.
Right.
I think the way that looks is Boston management goes to him and says, hey, we're going to fire you. Do you want to save face? He's like, yeah. Okay, then this is going to be mutual, right? Like that's
okay, two things.
Okay.
First of all, slapping your own dink is totally fine.
Yeah.
Getting slapped by somebody else in the dink.
In your dink?
Not good.
So good.
So, first of all, I want to clear that up.
That's like 6 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm glad you cleared it up.
I wanted to let you...
I appreciate that. I'm trying to paint a picture.
Yeah, I want to let you roll there. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Second of all, this IPA from Evergreen... to me,
it's a dick slapping good time.
It is, auto dink slapping good time. Yeah, smooth, easy drinking. Not really aware of the 6.2%.
Sure.
And thirdly, and now back to your point.
If you could,
I find this to be a great big pile of who gives a fuck.
Why is that?
I just think that this is a sport in baseball. Where it's like playing Monopoly with your brothers when you're growing up. Cheating is expected. Cheating is understood. And that's it. And if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And so they've been doing this forever. Forever.
Well, yeah.
And just wait.
Yeah.
I let you speak and you can have your
dink. No, I want to slap your dink.
You can have your dink slapping time when I'm done. I was looking around. They were talking about going back to the 1870s. Guys using, and the exact reference is a guy named, I think it's Murphy Morgan for Philadelphia. They had a whiskey billboard out in the outfield with a zero in it. And he would have binoculars and he would read the sign and he would do the exact same thing.
Right.
The O would close once for a fastball, twice for a change, 1899.
Right.
Right, they talk about the shot heard around the world, that pennant clinching for the Giants. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah,
they're saying
I don't believe. Well, they're saying, I just saw.
Yeah, the general manager, his office is behind the center field fence. He's got a telescope and an electronic buzzer hooked up.
Right,
this shit's been happening forever. This is a sport where. You accept it. A guy out there, a runner on second base, you know he's looking.
And that's what I was going to say. Don't you think that's different? The guy on second base, he's a player in the game. If you are lazy enough to allow him to catch on to your signs, that's fine. Once we're using, zoom-in cameras and guys are going into in-game video rooms.
It's the technology,
man.
That's all it is.
Yeah, and we only have to go back like 2 years. Both the Red Sox and Yankees were fined in the series. Guys were wearing Apple watches, right?
Yeah.
You send a little message that just vibrates on your wrist that gives little information here or there, and they say that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Like, to me, you can make those rules. To me, couldn't this all have been solved by just saying nobody can use in-game? When you go back, if you're coming up fourth in the next inning and you're a DH, let's say, so you're not out in the field, you can go back into the video room with the video coach and look at what the pitcher is doing and pretend you didn't notice what the catcher may have laid down there. Like, don't. I think there's kind of a come to Jesus thing here that's going to be, how much technology are we okay with? You could have just said no in-game video review at all, right? For the teams. I'm not talking about the instant replay shit. You can't leave the dugout to go talk to the video coach about this or that. You can't wear an Apple Watch. I don't know. I think the guy on second base who's looking in and stealing your catcher's signs, that's on you. Right? Yep. But the video camera that is following you around the league and sending audio clues in on what might be coming.
I'm just saying, in one form or another, this is baseball. This is what it is, and it's been like this for as long as there's been baseball.
So are the Houston Astros then being punished for just being the one stupid enough to get caught?
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, because they're tainted by the Astro stupidity through the Alex Cora lifeline.
Yeah, it's true. What about Carlos Beltran, who was a player in 2017 for the Astros? He is now getting ready to start his first season as manager of the New York Mets.
Yeah. See, that's a great question.
He's a player at the time, so his name isn't tied in, but he is the only player whose name is mentioned in the commissioner's report, and it's mentioned 9 times.
Yeah. As a veteran guy, well, and clearly, I don't think that this should have followed Cora, first of all. I think this is a Houston problem.
Well, Houston, we have a problem.
For sure. So, yeah, I think with all this should be warning enough, although clearly the New England Patriots continue to do shenanigans and hijinks,
Boston, yeah.
Right? And so who knows, right? Maybe Beltran is not going to be smart enough to pick up the signs that are very obvious to everyone else. I think he's probably going to be just fine.
How do you feel if you are a member of the LA Dodgers organization or a fan who faced the Astros in 2017 and the Red Sox in 2018?
I'm thinking I should have cheated harder myself.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Okay.
To me, this happens all the time. I think the only sports that cheat more are
the Patriots.
Are road cycling, you know, a la Lance Armstrong.
Sure.
Or maybe your track and field athletes.
Wow.
Like really.
Burying the amateurs. Eh?
Nobody cheats more than these people. So right. Baseball, it's institutional, the cheating. So I find this to be a great big who cares.
I saw a great tweet today that said this was pervasive, but not ubiquitous. Mm. I like big words, right?
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Normally,
but it's not everywhere. It's interesting to think, right? How many players or managers or staff on the Houston Astros in 2017 moved to other teams between now and then? You can't keep secrets like this. But if you find out when you get there that your new team is also engaged in some shit, then maybe, you know, like, how does this sort of become public? How does this eventually get out? You have to be on a squeaky clean organization for you to want to point it out, right?
Well, and the thing is, you look at the Astros, and 5 years ago, 2015, right, they were this up-and-coming team. They had drafted well.
They'd been a joke forever, and you said, their drafting was starting to – they'd been a joke, so they could draft well.
For sure. Yeah. And so everyone was looking at that going, yeah, they were so bad.
Yeah.
And then they were so good.
Yes.
And everyone was like, look at those guys. And so
– that's the model.
Yeah. Well, then they had the
bang,
whole
bang.
Roberto Osuna thing just this past fall,
yeah,
which was a terrible stain on them. And really sort of pull back the curtains a bit on the kind of people that you have
right
in that association.
Yeah.
And then now you have this. Boom.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like,
you
okay,
may not be the model.
You are a bunch of shitbirds. Sorry about that.
No, it's true. And the best, tweet that I saw is kind of a punishment or what they should. For the next 3 years, Houston Astro pitchers should have to tip every pitch that they're. Just tell the batter, I'm about to throw a fastball.
Give him the Bull Durham treatment.
Yeah, exactly. Here comes the curve.
Exactly.
Right. As we kind of move forward, on Sunday while we were recording, the New Jersey Devils fired their general. Yes. Fired their, it's a great putty moment.
Yes.
Fired their general manager, Ray Shiro. And I don't want to spend a ton of time here, but it was noteworthy because, and I'll let you off the hook if you want, I know over the offseason, I really liked what they had done. They gave up nothing to get PK Subban. They made a good deal to get Gusev out of Vegas, who hadn't been able to make it work there. They signed Wayne Simmonds on a short-term, show-me kind of contract.
Yep.
I really liked that. They had gotten the first overall pick to bring in Jack Hughes.
Two of the last 3 years.
Yeah, with Nico Hischier. And you just kind of go, I like what they're doing, and I don't remember if I picked them to make the playoffs, but I picked them to be really competitive.
I had them in fourth, I think.
And it has not gone well.
And the thing is, Shiro should never have to – he should have 5 years for thieving Taylor Hall for Adam Larson out of Edmonton, one for one.
Yes, the trade is one for one.
Like that on its own.
Yes.
Whatever the other things you've talked about, you go – and to me, I would have done the Subban thing at the time,
mm-hmm.
and the Gusev acquisition to me was genius.
Yep.
Vegas couldn't pay him.
Right.
Right. There was a pressure point there, and that's what a GM should do.
Yep.
And at this point, the Simmons thing hasn't worked out.
No, but you and I both love Wayne Simmons.
For sure.
We both would have balked at a five-year deal, but they gave him a short, show-me kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Really liked that.
And the Subban thing has not been good.
No.
But the more you hear now is a lot of talk that was really, there was a lot of pressure from ownership.
Yep.
Who are looking to make a move now. You have the Islanders who did what they did last year. The Rangers with their revamped lineup and sort of on the come. It's a tough hockey market in that little triangle of teams, right?
I guess. Go ahead.
I'm just going to finish and saying, yeah, the Subban thing. Yeah.
I liked it because they gave up nothing. They gave up nothing. It would have been great. Like all the talk, because that was day two of the draft that they made that trade. And all the talk at the time was that there was a second team and it was Toronto. That was interested in Subban, and they needed Nashville to eat like half.
50%.
Right.
Which is the max, I think, of what you're allowed to eat.
That's right. And they had gone back and forth, and a report came out, it might have been in 31 Thoughts, I can't remember for sure, like days after the draft, that said that David Poile in Nashville had said to Ray Shiro, we're tired of waiting on blank.
Yeah.
Right. And that turned out to be, right, if you remember day two of the draft, the Leafs trade Patrick Marleau to clear up.
Yeah, Carolina.
And they said, we're tired of waiting on whoever. Let's make your deal. Because your deal doesn't require us to eat any salary, right? So that's what ended up happening. I do believe Toronto was the other team.
Can you imagine?
Well, there's still people that want now to trade with New Jersey. With him eating half, or them eating half. Like, why would they fucking do that? And I don't want to.
And you bring in PK?
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
At 4.5 for the next 2 years.
Yeah, no.
I'm not doing it either.
I'm not doing that. That is the last thing you guys need.
He may make us look stupid in a year or two for saying that. This might be a down year after being traded, new system, new team, new organization.
It was a down year and a half the last little bit in Nashville.
Yep.
Why do you think Nashville's saying...
Yeah, take him. We'll take your no-name.
Right.
My thing with the firing of Ray Shiro is this is inside of a month of this ownership group allowing him to A, fire their coach, and B, trade their franchise player. If you even had this in your head at all that you might be getting ready to fire Ray Shiro, he's not the guy who trades Taylor Hall.
So to that,
he's now a point a game in Arizona.
To that, I have to say, Koskinen, Chiarelli.
Yeah.
Why you let that guy?
Well, okay. Do you want to measure yourself against the Oilers?
Yeah. No. All I'm saying is it happens.
Yes.
It happens more than you'd think, right? And I think at some points you're like, that shit's stupid.
Right.
Or, oh, that didn't turn out as well as I thought. And I did green light it, but now it looks bad. And you're going to have to pay.
Right.
I think there's a good dose of that.
You just said a few minutes ago that he should have 5 years for fleecing Chiarelli the way you did. Now you're comparing him to him.
I'm comparing ownership.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's right.
Or the upper management there.
Right.
Saying, that doesn't look so good.
A really interesting point, I think, that's getting underplayed here, and it often does, is why hockey management groups are so hesitant to do anything controversial. If Ray Shiro says to his ownership, you know, we just got to stick with the rebuild and be patient, 5-year plan, he's probably still got a job. But he goes out this offseason and he takes some big swings and we liked them and it didn't work and now he's fired. If you play that conservative, stick with the plan, it's always 5 years ahead and you protect your ass. As soon as you start doing controversial shit to go for it, if it doesn't work, suddenly your ass is on fire. And
it's almost like you become a victim of your good fortune, right? Which is the huge jump ups and winning the two draft lotteries.
Yep.
right? Where all of a sudden now it's too bad that it was that Heisher Nolan Patrick year, right? Yes. That's one of them.
And Jack Hughes has not had a great. I think you and I both expect both Heisher and Hughes to be good players, but they haven't been.
Okay, I expect Hughes to be good. Okay. I'm not sure about Heisher.
Okay,
I think he could be the worst in a decade.
Neil Yakupov.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Is he still in that window? Damn you, Edmonton. But yeah, if you take a look and they're talking about, especially in this market, right? They're talking about this coming up draft with Lafreniere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have Craig Button on, you have Pierre Maguire, you have different people talking about, well, where would you put Lafreniere in terms of McDavid, Matthews, Heisher, forget about Dahlin because he's a defenseman.
Sure.
And
you'll
Jack
back
Hughes.
A bit.
Right.
McKinnon.
Just those guys.
Okay.
Just back that far, right?
Okay.
In terms of forwards as a first overall pick, right? Where would you sort of rank him, right? And so clearly he comes in behind McDavid and Matthews.
As we often do. Well, okay, yeah.
Right. But yeah, they're saying, yeah, Lafreniere, probably Hughes, Lafreniere, Hughes. But he sure is the outlier.
Is the
bottom end of that,
right?
In terms of if you hope you're going to jump up and get a good player in that year, but Heisher, you'd be better off with the 3, 4, 5 in that same draft, right?
Yeah, well, like you said, Nolan Patrick hasn't exactly
at the number two spot,
right? So, I think it's kind of a sad thing to see we all, and not just you and I, tons of the experts out there.
That's
saw
us?
A New Jersey team.
Are you removing us from the expert category?
I'm putting us right alongside them, I think, is a...
Took... Like a boil?
Really?
On the ass of the experts?
Oof. Yeah. Really, really thought New Jersey had a great offseason. And it's really easy to turn around now and go, told you.
No, but you and I both...
The goaltending.
I think I said TH as opposed to double F. Both. Said, yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood and Corey Schneider.
Dope.
TROUBLE.
But they went and got Louis Domingue.
Yeah.
So this is on the heels of.
And that worked really well.
Yeah.
So that was the huge caveat on the whole thing, right? Was what are they going to do?
Yes.
In terms of you can have. You know, shooting a cannon out of a canoe, if you will,
for
right?
Sure.
That's kind of what they had going on there.
Well, this comes on the heels of Toronto playing New Jersey to 7-4 the other night. I texted you to talk about our Toronto's AHL defense just as New Jersey changes their goalie to a freshly recalled Corey Schneider.
How the mighty have fallen hard
on the AHL.
And this is one of those things where, and again, I don't want to bring it back to Ottawa, but... With the potential, maybe not, trading of Craig Anderson, you get nothing for goalies.
Keep right? hearing Toronto.
Okay.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah.
If it fit, I'd love that. I would absolutely love Craig Anderson to back up.
But all I'm saying is when Schneider was out in Vancouver and he was pushing Luongo.
Eddie Locke.
The second least Swedish name you could ever come across, right?
Behind
Doug Murray.
Yes, Douglas Murray.
Grew
up on the farm beside you here.
Yeah, for sure he did. So it's one of those things where you go, they flipped him for a first, I believe, New Jersey gave up for him.
Bo Horvat.
Yeah.
Is what that first became.
Well, sorry about that, New Jersey. But yeah, he just never panned out there.
Right.
And so, goaltending, it's a real, you got to have it. But nobody wants to pay for it.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, as I want to circle to just before you and I jumped on the microphone, we saw the Vegas Golden Knights fire Gerard Gallant as their head coach. It's odd.
Jerry was seen at the lift stand.
Yes, exactly. Flagging down cabs.
Out of town looking for a ride to the airport.
It's much easier in Vegas, I would think, than Carolina. It's always cabs. And you might as well catch a good show before you go.
I thought he was at the lift stand out in front of the CTC here.
No, he hadn't yet made it to town. Maybe he had. What the fuck do I know? I know his replacement isn't here yet. They're 3 points out of first place.
Yeah.
They are a third-year expansion team who had Gallant take them to the Cup final in their first year, to the playoffs in their second year, and like I say, as we sit here now, despite
and got
having,
hosed
yes,
in the playoffs.
As we sit here now, despite having had a rough month, are only 3 points out of first place in a very rickety fucking division. Two games up and down,
I think they prefer. Okay. Up and down division.
Nope, I'm going with rickety, man. Staying with rickety.
Okay. All right.
Look, I'm going to let you handle this one, but here's what I'm going to say about Vegas in my smug little advanced statistics way. Right now, in the entire league, Vegas sits third in Corsi, second in expected goals, second in scoring chances, second in high danger scoring chances, and 25th in save percentage. So figure it out. You have a 35-year-old aging goalie and a subpar backup. Everything else is likely to equal out when you look at those statistics. The only changes you could make when you look in the last couple of weeks where this slide has happened is that they drop as low as 5th in scoring chances and drop to 30th in save percentage. This shouldn't be difficult to figure out, and it shouldn't hang a coach.
Yeah. So there's a couple things happening here.
Okay.
You cannot start anybody in that lineup, in that organization, other than Fleury.
Agreed.
Like,
he is 35,
yep.
And you did just lock him up long term. That's not the coach's fault.
Yeah. I got him in the pool. He's doing just fine. It's anytime you put
25th in save percentage says he's not.
He had a really hot start, faded a bit. But what this really means, and I think Fleury will be fine for this season, right? This is, and we talked about when DeBoer got fired, right? And I'm trying to work my way through the...
Pete DeBoer, San Jose Sharks coach, was fired only a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
A little over a month ago.
A month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is the one who will replace Gerard Gallant in Vegas.
And so we talked at the time about the DeBoer bump.
Yes.
Right? You've heard about the post-baby bump.
The de-bump.
Yeah. So everywhere he's been, there's been a nice bump.
Right.
And so I fully anticipate the Vegas Golden Knights finishing first in this division and everyone going, look at that. There's the DeBoer bump right there.
It seems to be most, as a Leaf fan, I can tell you, coaching change of any kind seems to give you a bump.
Well, yes, perhaps. We'll see.
Well, it did. We'll see if it's long term, but it gave them the initial bump that it always does.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So
you went 9-0-1, I think, in one stretch.
15-4-1.
Yeah. So
that's good.
And then 3 without a win.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to the Leafs defense here shortly. Do you buy anything into the idea that this was what was required? Like, we're 2 years removed from him taking an expansion team to the Cup final. Has he forgotten how to coach?
No. No. And to me, Gallant is one of those guys who they talk about being...
He's a good hockey man.
Well, and a player's coach.
Yep.
Right? That he has that, you know, the thing that Berube has, the thing that Cassidy has, right? The thing where you can relate.
Right.
To players, right? You're not that hard ask. Hard ass task manager.
Right. Make some hard asks.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. So it's one of the, like, what are we now? Up to 8 or 9 coaches fired this year?
This is the 7th coach fired this year, 5th for hockey reasons. So.
Yeah. Now, did you see on the, just sort of a little sidestep here on the Jim Montgomery thing, right? Have you seen?
I have no idea. What?
So apparently he's.
A Dallas coach that was fired suddenly for non-performance reasons. But we never really heard what it was.
Drinking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim. Come on in. Get on the TCS panel,
that's exactly,
man.
Exactly. We have a mic, a hot mic right over here.
Right.
Ready for you to
we
go.
We love you here.
Yeah. He did an interview.
Okay.
And he said, he came out and said, yeah.
I love the beers.
The stars were right. Yeah. And so he got hammered.
Okay.
On a road trip. And he's saying, it was the wake-up call I needed. Yada, yada. But for all of us who wondered.
Yeah.
What is happening there?
Well, good. And
there's no crime. There's no. It was all these things that they kept
saying. I'm the one who irresponsibly speculated on this show. His previous coaching appearances were in college and in junior. And so you get a little nervous as to what they may have found out that they didn't like. So glad to hear it was nothing related to that.
Right. Okay. And so it's a guy who's, who's got a bit of an issue with the bottle. So he's, he's knuckling down, going to take that on. So
I guess I wonder, like, to me, when I laid out those stats off the top on this topic, to me, this made no sense. They're fine. They're having a little run of bad luck and some bad goaltending. You don't hang your coach for that. And to me, this makes no sense at all. Pete DeBoer is a good coach. I like Pete DeBoer. I think we speculated a few weeks ago that I would have been pumped to see the Leafs open up the wallet and bring him in as an assistant. Why he would do that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I liked him. I just don't think this was necessary. I think that organization has been on a hell of a run considering that they're 3 years old.
So how about, can you compare and contrast Nashville Predators, Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, to me, the Knights are a far better team. I don't know that I felt that way at the beginning of the season. Someone could easily throw our predictions in my face. But
I think I had Vegas winning the division, and I had Nashville winning the division.
I think I had Vegas in second and Calgary winning the division, but I don't remember where I had Nashville.
Well, you had Nashville in second.
Okay.
I talked you into
moving them up. Fucker.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Laviolette seems to be one of those guys who wears out his welcome.
Maybe punches players in the back of the head while they're on the bench.
Nobody loves that, right? So nobody loves it as they record their podcast either.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're curious over there,
yeah, we're a full table in between us. We're fine.
It's always the front of the head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of face.
Yeah, it's a big target, man.
Yep.
Do you see similarities? I just don't. I think Nashville is not performing up to snuff. I think Vegas
goaltending.
I think Vegas could be in first place in a week.
Right. But I'm just saying is what's happening is the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is the Nashville.
Here's what I can tell you.
The Nashville goaltending has not been.
You want to talk about Nashville's goaltending? What I can tell you is that Pekka Rinne had zero goals under Peter Laviolette, and he has one under John Hines.
All right. Then.
Victory, John Hines.
Yeah, for sure. Victory!
I think they got pumped 6-2 in their next game or something.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is you look at what I was very happy with the idea of Johansson, Duchesne, Turris, Bonino, right? That's your depth down the middle.
The talk seems to be the Turris and Laviolette. It wasn't good. It was not a good relationship.
Well, and the talk is that Bonino is your top scoring centerman in the four slot.
That is not good.
And Turris is actually playing on the wing now.
Yep.
And Johansson is so far down in terms of season stats.
You and I have overestimated him, I think, a couple of times. I don't think we ever had him as an elite number one center, but the talk of him being a nice 1 and 1A with Duchesne is no longer accurate. He's dropped a bit, and he's not worth the contract that he's.
And Duchesne, they're also saying, as a nifty, maybe one-dimensional player,
right.
is 8, but at 29 or whatever it is, and you go, he's got 7 more years.
Yep.
Oof.
To me, that one, yes. It scares me, but it doesn't scare me yet. I'm gonna hope for another 3 or 4 years out of that.
No. And again, that's one of those things where I loved him here.
Yep.
Right? When he was in town. You loved him, I think, when he was an Av.
And good Halliburton boy.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Absolutely, right? Man. Absolutely.
You score a goal tonight, like, my dad will buy me a Halliburton dinner jacket.
He doesn't have to.
No.
I got a couple.
Yeah, exactly. I loved him when he was here, but man, it is not panning out in year one. And so interesting things afoot in both those places. And really, to drop back to the comparison, I see it as a goaltending issue in both those places. If you're willing to say it's a goaltending issue in Vegas,
coaches
lost their jobs.
Yes, they do. Yes, they have. Do you want to move to Calgary, Edmonton next? Or do you want to move to Toronto next?
I absolutely want to go to Calgary and Edmonton. I think that's...
says nobody in the Canadian tourism guy.
Yeah, Calgary.
Banff is what you want.
Well, it's sort of nestled in between.
All right. I'd love to be nestled in between.
Although closer to Calgary, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing went down just prior, well, the evening prior to our last
Saturday. I think we even made passing reference.
We did.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was just...
Matthew Tkachuk mows down Zach Cassian a couple of times with, you know, in the trolley tracks.
Unpenalized.
Right. And then later on, kind of hits him in that questionable coming around the net, you know... It's not that hit you don't see much anymore. And Ray Ferraro has mentioned on Twitter a couple of times that's the Rafi Torres hit, right? Where you're trying to take somebody's head off where they're circling around the net.
Except it's not, the head wasn't targeted.
Right. Sorry, Rafi.
Yeah, no, but Rafi was an absolute head
hunter.
Yes,
he was. Yes, he was. So at the end of that, Zach Cassian decides he's had enough, and he beats the high holy fuck out of Matthew Tkachuk, who doesn't drop his gloves, doesn't want to fight, and it ends up being, what, a 4-minute?
4 minutes.
For roughing, because Tkachuk didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
Right? And
Calgary scores on the power play. Calgary wins the game.
Ends up in first place.
Ends up in first place in the division. Did you see the...
Cassian gets suspended for 3 games.
Two. I think it's 2.
Okay.
Did you see this or hear the hinterland who's who of the flaming turtle?
Oh yeah.
Put out by, I think
the Western
Chad
correspondent is the one who sent it to me.
Okay. Honestly. And they're talking.
Yeah.
Sometimes appears to be fierce, but is not.
Right.
Is less.
It's like one of these old Canadian wildlife commercials.
The hinterland who's who. For more information on the flaming turtle.
It's not anywhere near as fearsome as its predecessor,
yes,
whatever,
or noble as its predecessor,
right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
The flaming sea turtle makes his home in Calgary, but can be spotted on frozen surfaces all over Canada and the United States. He can be recognized by the number 19 on his shell. The flaming sea turtle will often sneak up on prey. He's known for quickly retreating into his shell after he attacks. While he can appear aggressive, the flaming sea turtle is actually quite timid and likely wouldn't survive for long in the wild. This generation of the animal is considered to be less noble than its predecessor. For a more complete story of the flaming sea turtle, why not contact the Canadian Wildlife Service in Ottawa?
Who would fight anybody?
Right.
Really, at the time. And score
including 50, a case of beer right to the ground in the offseason.
And score 50 goals.
Yeah.
Well, that's what results in a guy, you know, tying his towel under his nipples because sporting a bit of an offseason boiler.
Sure.
But I come down firmly on the Tkachuk side of the ledger here.
I'm shocked with how many people don't.
The thing is, yeah, I get it. He plays hard. He plays on the line, occasionally over the line, perhaps.
Yep, for sure.
But the thing is...
On your team, like so many guys,
yeah,
you love them.
Well, and see, the thing is, if you look at Brady, who we have here, so I am a little biased. I love the compete factor
right.
That the two of them bring.
But how many years did I love Kadri?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't want to play him now.
Okay, we're going to get to that, though, so hold on a second here.
Oh, we are. I forgot.
But yeah, the thing is, that's a guy, whether it's Brady, whether it's Matthew, a guy like Brad Marchand, right? This kind of shenanigans and the shitstorm that's coming around, right? That Cassian's blowing up. Matthew Tkachuk is going to perform better in that situation. You're not going to throw him off,
right.
The game.
That's right.
And the thing is, I agree with Matthew. You don't want to get hit like that.
I have to isolate that. Carry on.
I agree with Matthew.
Yes.
Yeah, keep your head up, man. Are we getting to a spot in the game where I can't hit you clean, where your head's not even targeted?
Yes.
And you're going to jump on me now and want to...
Yes.
Why would I fight you?
How long have we seen this? Clean hits end in scrums and bullshit. Like, Okay. You're not allowed to throw hits anymore.
All right. And here's the thing is, he hit Zach Cassian.
Yep.
Cassian, I know you got 12 goals now, big man. I get it.
But that was his... Zach Cassian said after the game, after he pummeled Matthew Tkachuk, that I wanted to fight him last year. He said, you're a fourth liner. I wouldn't waste my time with you. So
ting,
I went to fight him this year.
And I got 12
I got 13 goals, and he still won't fight me. So what's the deal? You're like, you apparently aren't worth it.
Yeah. Okay. And isolate that too. Apparently, you're not worth it. It comes
make
down to,
it,
yeah, if Tkachuk is sweeping behind the net and he blows up Draisaitl or he blows up McDavid, there's going to be retribution. Well,
okay, but you can't have two sets of rules, right?
All right, Matt. Thank you. Now let's pivot on that statement and go to Kadri and Ryan Lindgren.
Well, I don't like Kadri anymore.
Okay. No. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm pointing the finger at the NHL,
right?
And it's shitty reffing and it's shitty judgment
on that.
Is that Kadri must have fed Lindgren 30 brights right to his face.
Yep.
And that was a beatdown.
Right.
Right. And in the NHL's eyes, the only difference is, well, Lindgren had the chance to throw his gloves and take a beating. Whereas Tkachuk, they're like, didn't have a chance to square up. And in my opinion, you see the linesman in the Cassian Tkachuk thing, they let him go. Like, how much longer do you want to see
just getting
Cassian
fed.
Throw him to the ground, pull him, throw him to the ground, and just feed him?
But don't you think that's entirely reputation-based? They looked at those two guys and went, well, Matthew Tkachuk's a shithead, so he can take a beating here. Whereas Lindgren, I guess, can't. Like, well, there's a total double standard
here. And that's what I'm saying is at some point... And I was just watching, and I'm not sure if you've seen Ice Guardians on Netflix.
Yeah, I think I slept through it on a Sunday afternoon, but I've seen parts of it.
Well, and the takeaway from it, I haven't watched all of it, right?
Yeah.
But the takeaway is, and they had Ron Asseltine, old-time official. And he's saying, shit like that happens when the officials... Don't keep control of the game is when shit gets... Because the players are like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to do this myself.
I'll do it.
Yeah. So
you won't penalize that guy? I'll penalize
Then I will do it. I'll do it in my own way.
Right.
And so to me, it's the mixed messages you get from those incidents.
I absolutely agree with that. I think the NHL has no idea right now where they're at on half of this stuff.
And you look at maybe pre-Christmas... Ottawa plays Philly. Borowiecki steps up, plants Konechny in open ice.
Yeah.
Nice clean hit, concusses Konechny, puts him out of the game.
Right.
There's fights that happen after. It's a clean hit. There's no head targeting.
Right.
But bam, Konechny goes down, hits his head. You know, Scott Laughton jumps Pajot later in the game.
Sure.
Later in the game, Tkachuk cross checks and then pummels Scott Laughton, who turtles, goes down, right?
Right, yeah.
It's very similar. And so the NHL sort of goes, I don't know what's happening here, but you're thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
The next time, 2 weeks later, Philly is in Ottawa. They dress some meathead that they pull up from the AHL, who's on the bench.
Obie Oglethorpe.
Yeah, Stewart was the last name. I can't remember what his first name was.
Chris? Is it Chris Stewart?
Chris Stewart, I think.
They just waved him today.
Okay, so he's in the warm-up, he's at center ice, and he's chatting to Boro, right? He's saying, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah,
this is what's going to happen.
Dance here.
Right? Then he's on the bench when the game starts. The refs go over to both benches. They address Stewart. They address Vigneault, because that, honestly, the Philly coaching staff, Vigneault, Therrien, who is it, Yo?
Oof. Yep. Like
so, anyways, between Terry and Vigneault, there's guys who had 500 penalty minutes a season when they played in the queue. So you go, okay, the NHL has made a stance.
All right.
We don't want that bullshit. You keep that whole sort of vigilante thing to yourself.
Yeah.
Right? To me, I've never seen that, right? Where they clearly, nothing's happened yet, but they've addressed the player and the team. So
you're
like, okay, look, see, they're sending a message. This isn't
don't
the
one. Don't fucking
this isn't
do
the
it.
Wild West anymore. You can't do that shit.
Right.
But yet they have differing rulings on these two things.
Yep.
And I want to say, if you're looking at that Calgary, doubling back to Calgary and Edmonton and the Cassian thing and whatever, Cassian, I think you're...
Go ahead.
Hey, where's Looch? Where's Looch in all this?
I'm sure he's on the bench.
Very quiet. Very quiet. Am I right?
Yeah, but remember, he's already been suspended for beating the fuck out of an unwilling participant in Columbus.
Well,
Zach
Cassian is apparently a very willing participant.
No, okay, but if we're looking to draw parallels, Milan Lucic fought the guy in Columbus. That guy didn't want to fight him. He got fought anyway, and Lucic took a 2-game suspension. Cassian fought a guy who didn't want to fight him, and now he's taking a suspension. Where the NHL, to me, has dropped the ball here. You see who Edmonton's opponent is? Cassian's first game back?
Yeah. Well, they play.
What are you doing?
And they play back to back. Now, Edmonton may have a game in between, or Calgary, one of the two.
Well, for those who haven't caught on, it's Calgary, right? Like,
yeah.
Whether it's. I thought it was three games. It doesn't matter. There's the All-Star break, the bye, and the first game back, I believe, is the 29th. It's Calgary fucking Edmonton. So I don't know what the league's doing here. I don't know if the suspension was warranted or not. But if I'm going to give him 2 games, just give him the third to avoid this in the...
Or a fourth, because I think they play back-to-back.
It could be, man. I don't know that, right? But and now you're starting to double his punishment just to avoid trouble. And I do understand that it becomes a... But you're just building this up, and Cassian has said, okay, they're telling me...
You're playing with fire. I understand.
You've shown me what's legal in the NHL. I can do what Matthew Tkachuk can do, which, no, you can't, because Matthew Tkachuk can score goals and make plays and
80
whatever.
Points.
Right.
When you get to 80 points, you cannot do that. Exactly.
Right. But this is going to be a thing. And this is going to be, and I'm not suggesting it's going to be anywhere near as dire, but this is one of those Steve Moore situations where they send in extra, you know, officials here and to watch this, and there's all kinds of extra warnings. You created this by setting it up like that, right?
And not only that, with the on-ice officials, you've made it that way. And then when you hear Cassian's comments, right, when he's saying, yeah, I've done this forever, you know, and you've played with fire, you know, you're going to get burned. I'm the wrong guy. And so...
Doesn't that hit remind you a little of the... Who was it? Was it Steve Downey who took Dean McCammon's head off?
Yeah, behind the net.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a very similar play.
Well, see, and there's a except for, yeah, Downey goes right through McCammon's head.
But we saw that go away.
Wendell Clark on Barry or whatever, that behind the net. Yeah. Right? That guy gets exploded.
But we saw that go away, right? That when they did, it, I think Rafi Torres was the last one who got blown up or who blew somebody up that way, and they went, no, that's not okay. That's not, and it wasn't even a head thing. It's just, that's not an okay hit.
Yeah. Well,
and
see,
now Matthew
I
Tkachuk,
disagree.
Okay.
I Ma- disagree. Ma-
just to finish, Matthew Tkachuk has now done it, and the league has suspended the guy he did it to. And I know it's for what happened later, but you've set a precedent now. And it's, I don't really blame Zach Cassian for going, all right.
Okay.
If that's legal, that's legal. I hope you remember that when I fucking...
See, the thing is, you're getting to a spot, and Zach Cassian's one who's saying, yeah, since I played midget, I've stuck up for myself, I've stuck up for my teammates.
Yep.
Yeah, when you were in midget, I guarantee you, your coach is grabbing you by the back of the jersey and saying, your fucking head's on a swivel, man.
Right.
You watch what's coming your way.
Yeah.
And now you, as a jungle cat, are saying, oh, I can't get hit.
Oh, but he's been told that's not an okay hit. If it now is.
You can't target the head. No, you can't. You can go through the torso totally fine, which is what Tkachuk did.
But to me, it's the area. Like, you've taken that hit out of the game.
Well, because...
That's a defenseless hit. That's what they're calling it. And if you're pulling that back now and saying, no, that's an okay hit.
Women's hockey is where we're coming then.
Well, we've talked about that.
I know. But the thing is, you can't say... What they're saying is, you cannot come through with a guy with his head down, not looking, and target the head.
Right.
This was not, the head was not targeted.
I agree with that.
And so to me, it hasn't been the area on the ice. It's been the hit to the head.
To me, the area is part of it.
Well, not penalized.
Right.
I don't think that was a penalty.
Okay. I don't know that I disagree with you. It's only a penalty based on kind of this unwritten, which is always the problem with the NHL,
right?
It's all this unwritten bullshit.
Right, you talk about the Downey hit.
Yeah.
On McCammond. You talk about Rafi Torres hitting Hossa.
Yeah.
Right at center ice.
Right.
Where it's shoulder right to the jaw.
Yeah.
Bang. Those are the ones where you're like, that is, you're not hitting somebody to take them out of the, or remove them from
the
puck.
You don't think there sort of became this unwritten thing that while you're circling around the net, you're okay? Like they had sort of taken that out of the game because we had seen guys get blown up.
Yeah, I think what you've seen is the forechecking to that area has changed a bit.
It's almost like it's almost like you have to be outside the trapezoid, just like the goalie, right?
And
like,
see, the thing was on that hit, I think that's the one where Cassian is with somebody. The play is in tight, and Tkachuk has come from from the other side, right? And so the puck is there. But again, you know what, man? That's hockey, and people want to talk about the Battle of Alberta. It is hockey.
I'm not sure it is anymore.
To me, it is head contact.
Yep.
Head contact. Because if you remove that play out of the game where there's no head contact, but I can't hit him because he's not fucking watching.
To me, it's only the precedent that had been set before.
But there is no precedent other than head contact.
No, that's not true. In that area, that hit has been gone for a long time.
Show me where it's been suspendable.
I can't. Yeah. This is exactly what I'm saying. It's become one of these unwritten things, and that's where hockey gets into trouble. There's this bullshit code instead of just a black and white rule. And so that hit has been gone for a long time, and now somebody threw it, and the referee lost control of the game. He didn't make the right call there. And we can argue whether
what is it called? Is it charge? Is that what you're going to call him? On a charge?
Well, I guess.
No, but I'm asking you.
I don't have the answer, man. I'm telling you.
Because to me, there is no call.
Okay. And that's okay. I don't know that I disagree with you, but when was the last time you saw a hit like that? It's been gone forever.
Well, I think it's opportunity.
Okay, so there hasn't been an opportunity in the last 7 years to throw that hit?
Clearly not. You think?
Nah, come on.
Okay, but you think this is coming out? Okay. You're going to throw...
In 7 years, there hasn't been one guy coming around like that.
When's the last one?
Rafi Torres.
Yeah, but Rafi Torres was all over the ice. There was, like I said, I've given you the Hossa one, which was at center ice.
Rafi Torres is throwing them exactly in that area, and that's where they
But so has Carcillo, so has Downey. There's been a pile of guys who've done it.
And it's gone. Those are all like 6-7 years ago.
Those are all.
Steve Downey has not been in the league in 6 years.
Those are all head contact shots.
No, you're changing the point. It's the area that I'm talking about.
Double back when you listen to this. I don't care about the area. I'm talking about the continent. Why?
Because that's what they're talking about. It's been gone for however many years.
That's bullshit. And you know that's bullshit. That's a weak argument.
No, this is exactly. I'm not making it. I'm telling you. That's where they've come down on this. That hit has been gone forever. Unwritten. The league has made that hit go away.
See, I don't agree with the
unwritten. I'm not saying you have to agree with it. I'm saying that's the problem. It's too much unwritten bullshit. There's too much code. There's too much that's guesswork. And then when a referee loses control and makes the wrong call in a gray area, instead of it being simply black and white...
This is
where we get into trouble.
That's right. So then you want to say, and this is where you've alluded to the trapezoid, then you want to make from the icing line to the boards, put a nice little blue zone like in the crease and say, you can't hit anybody there.
Yep. I'm not saying that's what I want, but that would take the gray out of it.
For sure. Then we agree on that.
Yep.
You can't hit in these areas.
Right. I agree.
Terrible idea.
I agree. It sucks. But it would take this bullshit guesswork out of code, this and blah. You know, to me, it's just kind of a, what are we doing? Right? Like, not only do the players have to guess, now the refs have to guess, and you end up with what we're going to see on the 29th, which is a game I'm going to watch.
Yeah. And as we've said, everybody knows, right?
It'll get diffused.
All kinds of hype.
Always. Always
not
gets diffused.
A pile of excitement.
But I don't know. Do they play again in February or March? Because that's the one you...
No, they play again...
The next night. I know you're saying back-to-back.
No, I think somebody... One of the two teams plays somebody else in between.
Right.
But yeah, they play very close.
But don't you feel like this is always like it's down the road? Like the players aren't stupid.
Well, we'll see how the billboard, the Matthew Tkachuk billboard in Edmonton goes over.
I love that shit, man. That's awesome.
We'll see if that is one of those things
you're
where
such
you go,
a dick.
That's hardcore trolling right there.
For sure, man. Last thing we wanted to touch on, I think, in this one, and we won't spend a ton of time here, is Morgan Riley on Sunday night as the Leafs are getting just fucking pumped. Breaks his feet. It's really only one, I guess. Breaks his foot.
Oh, man, I broke my feet.
And he's out for something like 8 weeks. Jake Muzzin is already out with broken foot slash feet. And it leaves the Leafs in a pretty precarious position.
Not as long as Rasmus Sandin is going to continue to get 2 or 3 points a night.
I assume that's going to be the new normal.
Yeah, for sure.
2 points per game kind of guy. It's funny to me that these things always seem to happen when you're already getting wrecked. Like, just get out of the way. If we're already getting crushed like this, don't block a shot.
Don't even play.
Sure. Well, that's seemed to be what the rest of the team had
decided.
Send out
Berenson. That's what you need to do.
Send in the clowns.
Yeah. Well, and
one of the missing pieces from our Vegas discussion was Gerard Gallant calling Pete DeBoer last year in the playoffs a clown. And then that clown replaced him.
Yeah, well, there it is. Yeah, I think when you're running, you know, Dermott and Hall as your top pairing.
Yeah.
Who didn't see that coming?
What could go wrong?
CeCe and Marinson as your third pairing, and then
Sandin and they mixed and matched a bunch.
Barry, right?
Sandin and it was actually Dermott and Barry on the top pair for a lot of it. Yeah, then Sandin Hall or Sandin CeCe. It got mixed and matched a lot. It was shuffled around a bunch. The interesting thing, I guess, is what are they supposed to do now? Because you see a lot of the knee-jerk bullshit that says, oh my God, no Riley, no Muzzin. You better go out and find a left-handed defenseman. I've received some tweets from some senators. And honestly, I've gone, could be worse.
Well, and the thing was, somebody else was saying, you know who would look good in Toronto right now or at the trade deadline? Dylan DeMello.
I saw that today, too, on Twitter. I interacted with one of our listeners who was trying to sell me a package of Dylan DeMello and Craig Anderson for Toronto's 2021 first.
Okay, it's always a first.
It's always a first.
And a second. Can you throw in the second, too, or whatever it is?
Well, the thing is, we got to send a body out to take on Craig Anderson's.
Yeah. Well, it'll be down to under $1 million.
Yeah, we don't have it.
I know.
We don't have it. Well, you're gonna have to take Cody CeCe.
I don't want to give up DeMello either.
Our buddy Ian Mendez and Steve Lloyd on TSN 1200 on Wednesday saying that's a guy you look to re-sign, not trade.
Yeah, I'd like to re-sign Dylan DeMello as well. Because he's such a complimentary piece. He's never gonna be but he's what Toronto needs, is really what I'm saying.
More than anything else, because he makes 900 grand a year, half the year is gone, and you could ask Ottawa to eat half and get him for $200,000.
Yeah.
We're paying guys in the A more than that.
Honestly, he would kill it. He would kill it.
He would be fine on our right side there.
But
you had to take CeCe back. It's only for the rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure. And really, welcome home, Cody.
Yeah. Try not to, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and really what's going to happen with this is I'll be so interested to see with the shift with Sheldon Keefe in terms of wanting to run Anderson, Freddie Anderson, this is, into the ground. Man, with that D in front of him, and you're going to continue to trot Freddie out.
Well, Keefe's playing Hutch more than Babcock did, and it's going a little bit better. To me, the interesting thing is...
Well, it went better on that...
That one time where we shut out the Isles.
That stretch of games where you were winning 15 out of 20 or whatever
that
was
awesome. Can we do that some more?
Yeah. Well, and the team was hot. But
yeah. The bump, right, as we're calling it. But don't you think, like, you have to agree with me. I guess the point that I'm getting to
I don't have to.
I'd like it, though.
Okay.
Just this one time.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay. Muzzin was back on the ice on Wednesday. The Leafs are going into their bye week after just two more games. Then they have the All-Star break. Maybe Muzz is back. You can't trade for a guy to play the left side if you're hoping Riley's going to be back, Muzzin is going to be back, and your best defensive prospect, Sandin, is also a left. The problem has always been the right side. You don't start blowing assets for the short term over the long term.
Yeah.
And like, their plan can't have changed.
And there's a lot of talk about how precarious Toronto's playoff position is at this point, right?
Yeah. Like
going into last night, they were a point up on Florida.
They're right now as we record three. But
yeah, this becomes the division. I can't speak to the wild card right at this moment, but the division is becoming much clearer, right, in terms of your Buffalo and Florida in behind Toronto.
Yep. And on the other side, Philly's hanging around. Columbus still making it.
Those fucking Penguins, too, that I...
They're up to second.
Was sure we're...
They were like 16-4-2 without Crosby.
Yeah, and then he comes...
Fuck you!
And then Sid rolls back in and puts up a four spot.
By the way, I learned the spank pass behind the net to create just this unreal...
Yeah.
First 4 points in his first game back.
Dude's good.
But there's six teams...
And a proud member of Dun & Dumba.
That there are six teams in the East that are done, right? As you said, the picture is getting much clearer.
Montreal is done. Detroit is done. Ottawa's done. Those three in the Atlantic.
Jersey's done.
Pitch them.
Yeah.
Right? And so in the Atlantic, you are really just looking at those five teams.
Right. But even in the wild card sense, there's some shit on the other side.
No. That's why I said, yeah, I'm trying to eliminate.
Yeah.
Because Buffalo, to me, they're goaltending Hutton, who was great for me early in the season. And Omark, I think, has been getting the lion's share lately. Yep. Not great, right, in terms of what's happening there. The Ralph Kruger bloom, I think, is slightly less in bloom.
Sure.
And so, yeah, Toronto has just got a defense-wise. They are what they are. They're going to score a pile of goals, especially at home.
But, like, if we're looking at Riley it being 8 weeks-ish, this week...
Yeah, which probably means six.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
This week, you've got to win. It wasn't pretty. Now you got two games left. You got Calgary and Chicago. Let's say you lose to Calgary Thursday and beat Chicago Saturday. Take it and run, right? You hope that's...
For sure.
Then
that's legitimate. I don't think there's any problem with that.
Right. Then you get the next week off. The next week after that, Muzz is back. You know, can you kind of sew it together a little bit? I'm not suddenly looking for a left-handed top-end defenseman that's never going to...
No.
Fit. You have to stick with what the problem always was.
In the offseason, you traded for Barry.
Yep.
And in the trade deadline last year, you brought in Muzz. Like, you've done...
Right.
You've done the defenseman hunting you're going to do. You're not going to find anything more big game.
This would be the question I'd want to ask.
Especially without a first-round pick.
That's right. 2021. Would you... kind of play the Patrick Kane game? I don't know if you remember, but it's no more than, it might have been that 2015 season, but he got a long-term injury and he was probably good to come back like 3 weeks before the season ended, but they had put him on LTIR. They'd made their moves at the trade deadline. It might have been the Antoine Vermette year, I can't remember for sure. But they had filled his cap space, knowing that once the season ends...
Vermette for Hartman.
Hartman, I think, was later.
No, I think it was Vermette for a first.
Yeah.
Hartman also for a first.
Yeah.
They may have just recouped that. Sorry.
Sure. So, but they sort of filled his cap space, knowing that once the season ends and the playoff starts, they can activate him, and there's no... He maybe isn't... You would have liked him to have maybe three games or four or whatever it would have been, you know, in the regular season to get warmed up again.
You're talking about Riley now.
Now, Riley's cap space, you could, in theory, fill it for the rest of the regular season, hopefully on the right side of the defense, or, God willing, a backup goaltender.
Yeah, well,
and just let Riley sit till game one of our inevitable series with Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a long way away, man. That's still like 10, 12 weeks away.
Right. So they're saying 8 weeks minimum, as I'm with you, sort of. I'm hoping it's only six. You're suggesting it might only be six.
Yeah, well, it always seems to be. Now,
remarkably quick to recover these days.
Well, and I think with the way medicine is now now...
But would that be something you'd look at?
You hear in some other places where they say... they're going to reevaluate in 8 weeks ready in 8 weeks. You know what I mean? So,
but let's say 8 weeks from now, that's mid early March. It turned out it was going to be 2 weeks longer than that. Now you're late March. You know, would you be willing to risk letting him sit another 2 weeks?
What's he making, you know, roughly?
Four and a bit.
No, he hasn't hit his big bump yet either, eh?
This was one of the things Lou did for us. Him and Kadri both signed sweet deals.
Yeah. Away. All right, well.
You know, and yeah. At this point in the season, four is worth six or whatever it is, you know, on guys whose money is expiring.
Well, that's going to pay you your Craig Anderson money.
Yeah. I'd really rather not spend it all on Craig Anderson.
Well, you
gotta leave room for Hainsey.
Okay, you and I have talked about it a bunch of times. Yeah, no, Hainsey's too expensive for you.
Yes, he really is. He was in July, and yeah, he is now.
And it comes down to, you and I have talked about it, you guys are what you are.
Yes.
So I don't think the playoffs are in jeopardy for you guys. You're going to outscore in the regular season.
Yes.
When you play your Ottawas, like, have we only played Toronto once?
I believe so.
Yeah.
We got two here in town coming up in the next month.
Yeah, so there's got to be three more Ottawa games coming up.
Right.
I just think you're gonna roll over the Patsies.
Well, and that's it, right? People were upset about that 7-4 against New Jersey. That's what we are.
Yeah.
Like, yes, New Jersey sucks. We're not going to beat them 2-1. We're going to beat them 7-4. Right? Like, that's the way we're built to do that. And that's the only reason I would consider the Subban thing at half his salary from New Jersey. No, he's not the lockdown right-handed guy you want. But why would you only bother to have one of those? We play up and out quick and go, right?
Yeah, but he's not doing that.
I agree. He's not what he... But is he worth 4.5 doing that? More than he's worth 9 at doing that. I don't know why New Jersey would keep... I'm not actually suggesting we get Subban.
Yeah.
But that style of guy maybe fits better than your DeMello, right? Because we're going to try and do this anyway.
Like, see if Pittsburgh's willing to give up good Branson. How about
Pittsburgh?
That?
No, I don't really want to do that.
How about Johnson?
Is he still in the fucking league? Did they send him down?
I don't know. But
you know, like, I just, maybe that's, if this is what we are,
yeah,
why go get one stay-at-home defender?
Yeah.
Just go get another up-and-out guy.
Yeah, well, more of what you got. I agree. Yeah. I understand what
Lean
you're saying.
Lean into it.
Tell me something, hot on the heels of in that 7-4 game, yeah. Austin Matthews scoring a hat trick.
Yeah.
What's the breakdown on his goals on the road versus home?
Oh, man, it's like 80% home, 85% home.
Is that just a matchup thing, you think?
Or no.
What's the deal?
Honestly, largely, I think it's coincidence because Keith sure. is... Yeah. But Keith
that's a
is,
huge, that's
yes,
a
it
huge
is.
Swing for a coincidence.
Well, because I think while Babcock was still coaching, he had... only one on the road and like 15 or 16 on the road.
Were you surprised to see that's his first hat trick since his first game in the NHL?
No, but only because it's been a thing on Leafs Twitter forever. Because he's got like 32 goal games and every time it's like, is this the night someone looked for Matthews? Like, you know, and even the one that he got to make the hat trick, it's an empty netter and Vatanen with a harder play stops it, right? Like, so... to me, it doesn't mean anything. He's got 140-some-odd career goals now. That's only second into an empty netter. So, you know, he's getting it done the hard way usually. But I get that it's a hell of a coincidence, but I don't read much into it.
Okay.
Only because also his minutes have gone way up since Keefe has started, you know, running the show. And you know, it's been a little closer split now since then. I think it's just the way Babcock used to like to match up, but it's less of a thing now.
Okay, I'm interested though in how that
he's on pace for 59.
Well, that's up 3 from the 56 he was on pace for last week.
Yeah, sweet, it's good, right?
Hat trick will do that for you.
How about this? Before we get out of here, William Nylander. We all see, and I love that TSN is trying really hard to get more into the advanced stuff. And before the start of most periods now, they show that home plate.
Yep.
Right. William Nylander currently has, I think they said 20 or 21, 16 of them inside the home plate. That is second in the league for a guy who is known around the league by his haters to be a perimeter guy.
Right here. That's me.
Yeah. right there, man, right on the home plate, right in the in tough areas, 16 of his 20 goals. Does that surprise you at all?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very
second much in the so. League, man. It's not bad. He's having a great season. Everyone loves to talk about that contract. He's right where he should be. He's making 6.9 a season. If you look at only guys making 6.5 to 7.5, he's right there in the top three or four.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you in the playoffs, Willie.
Yes, I know you can't just tip your cap and go, okay,
I'm sorry. It's true I can't, but hey, I've acknowledged it.
Yep.
It's true. Now, if I was to say to you...
We got to go.
Yeah, no. No, this is not... who is the rookie goal-scoring leader?
Is it that... What is it? I always mix them up with the chick running for president, the Klobuchar or whatever out of Chicago. Amy Klobuchar or whatever.
It's like Kublai Khan. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, man.
Is it him?
It is him.
Okay.
I'd never heard of the guy before last night.
I only knew that because before Chicago's game against Ottawa on Tuesday night, I went looking in our pool for somebody to pick up. And it's screaming at you, take this guy. He's playing Ottawa, right? And I'm like, I've never heard of that guy. I'm not taking that fucking guy. He's probably got 3 points last
year. Czech guy who had like 30 goals in the Swiss League last year.
Right.
And they brought him in on a show me like $1 million contract.
Sure.
Yeah. And he's
killing it.
For large chunks of the game, he's playing with Kane and Taves. And so
not a bad gig. That's the Zach Cassian gig.
Well, it was the Alex Nylander gig.
Okay.
Until he couldn't do it.
Whoops. Yeah.
back of the line there, Alex.
Right.
So we had this guy. Honestly, it's like on cue. I'm halfway through the game. I'm like, who the hell is that guy?
Who is this?
And then one of those little TSN, you know, Dominic Kublai Khan or whatever his name is. Blah blah blah. And
but
I'm like, okay.
But there is a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
I think it's Amy Klobuchar or something like that.
And I'm like, okay, well, I asked for it, and there it is. Look at that.
Right up there.
But anyways, he's up to 19 or 20 goals, leading rookie goal scorer now.
Guy you've never fucking heard of. Anyway. Probably gets 4 next year. I guess just before we get out of here then, Hogberg, he started 3 in a row now.
Yes.
Obviously, everyone in Ottawa understands, knows why. You know, the Craig Anderson show is probably over. He's likely to be out by the deadline. Has he taken the reins from Anders Nilsson? Like, I know he's the long-term guy.
Nilsson's concussed.
Okay.
Right now.
But if he's healthy tomorrow.
Well.
Like, Hogberg is the long-term guy, right? Nilsson's kind of the stopgap.
Well, yeah, for sure. Nilsson's a guy who's a journey. He's 29, right?
Yeah.
He is where Craig Anderson was when Craig Anderson came to Ottawa.
Yeah.
29 years old.
Right.
You know, now. Nilly there has been a 500 goalie on a pretty terrible team.
Yep.
And Hogberg, people are like, he's only got one win in 9 games.
Right. You got to look a little deeper.
He's 1-2-4, I think, is his record, right?
Again, on a terrible fucking team.
The last 3 games, he's gone to overtime. The game against Montreal on Saturday night, Christ, he made 8 saves in overtime.
Right.
It was, so I don't know. But right now, it is, you got to see what you have moving forward.
Who's the other guy? There is another young Sens goalie they have high hopes on, isn't there?
There's 2 of them down there in Belleville. Belleville now, with the youngest team in the AHL, first place in the Northeastern Division.
Right.
Joey Decord and Philip Gustafson.
Gustafson's the guy I'm thinking of. That guy came out of Pittsburgh, I think, right?
He's the guy who got traded in the Broussard trade.
Yeah.
A first and Gustafson.
Right.
And Ian Cole.
Of course.
For
How
Broussard.
Could you forget?
Man, we swung that deal at the right time. But right now, Hogberg has been lights out on a bad team.
Right.
And so it gives you know, sort of a little hope for the future.
Yep.
That he and Nielsen can do whatever. But yeah, Hogberg has always been, he's 6'7 or whatever he is.
He's
a huge man,
fucking,
right?
Yeah.
And to me, it looks like Joey Decord in Belleville has really, he's 7-1-2, I think, in his 10 games in Belleville.
Right.
So we'll see, but yeah, right now they're going to run with Hogberg until the wheels fall off. Cause you want to see what you have without Anderson at the end of this year or next year. Right.
I just wonder, and I wonder your opinion is this, are you throwing him to the wolves on a bad team? Should it be Craig Anderson out there eating it? Or do you want to see,
well,
and is there a problem that he could cost you a playoff spot or not a draft pick?
Yeah. I don't think so, because this team is winless in eight.
Right.
So at that point, you're
don't worry, the Leafs are coming in. I'm sure you'll
you're four loser points. Yeah, well, then Hoagie gets the shutout in a 1-0 game.
Of course they do.
He does. But, yeah, I'm still not sold on him. But to me, at this point, Hoiberg has made the saves he should make and a couple of the ones he shouldn't.
Spectacular.
Right. And at this point, you're like, that's all you can ask for.
Yep.
Make the save, as John Rodenberg here would say, save the savables and a couple of the unsavables.
Right.
Perfect. And that's what he's been doing, right? I don't think he's had glimpses of amazing play.
Right.
But no, I think they're going to run with Nilly and Hoagie and see what happens.
I'm glad we've got the hockey nicknames locked down at least.
Nilly. I like that for sure. I like the double.
On behalf of the unsavables here, we'll wind down this show.
Unsavables.
Yeah, well, there's that. At Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram. We're at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And we'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast.